Good afternoon, listeners. Thank you for tuning in to episode 6 of Step Connections. Today we have the honor of interviewing Mrs. Nalepa. Mrs. Nalepa is a news reporter within Channel 3 Eyewitness News. Thank you for being here, Mrs. Nalepa.
Thank you for having me.
Without further ado, let's get right into the interview. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small area in western Massachusetts called the Berkshires. And we don't have a lot of TV stations out there. The biggest TV markets were either in Albany, New York, or Springfield, Massachusetts.
Do you think the community in which you were raised in affected who you are today?
Oh, definitely. I think that you're a product sometimes of your community, especially if you have good role models and people that believe in you and support you and push you through. I think that I am not a shy person, which is probably one of the reasons why I like to work in TV, but I think I tried to make the most of what I did have, as I was telling you that, you know, I came from a very small area. We weren't as close to big cities. You know, you guys are lucky here in Connecticut. Growing up here, you have New York, you have Boston, so it took me a little further, you know, travel-wise to get out to those cities. So basically, you look to see what you have around you, and you try and see, okay, who can help me, or, you know, how can I network with this person and get to, you know, where I want to be.
How has your family supported you?
My family is, oh, they are amazing. They're such a huge support. They have never deterred me from my dreams. I have wanted to be everything from an actress to a teacher. I started going to college to teach, believe it or not. And they always just supported me. You know, they were really helpful when I was having a moment where I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do. But I always did want to go into broadcasting and journalism. But I think that I feel very fortunate that I have such a good support system at home. And I think that, you know, even if, you know, some people are not as fortunate to have a good support system with parents, but I think that there are other people out there in the community that can definitely foster, you know, their dreams and help that guide them. So there's always someone out there that is going to believe in you.
Did friendships play a major role in your life when you were growing up?
Oh, of course. Friendships. Oh. And now, I mean, you guys are going into high school. You guys are going into high school now, so you're going to find that when you get to college, and then even after college, going into the career world, you're going to have many friends. And someone once told me you can only count your true friends on one hand, which I think is definitely true for me. I'm 30 years old now, so I think that when I look back, you know, you make some great friends along the way, but there are only a few that really stick with you. And it's not for any particular reason, just sometimes you grow apart, you know, people move across the country. But yeah, no, friendship is really important to have.
Who was your biggest role model as a child?
My biggest role model? Well, I loved Audrey Hepburn, but she was pretty much passed by the time I was entering my teenage years. I love Katie Couric. I grew up watching her on the Today Show, and I loved the balance that she had between delivering the news and delivering some tough stories, but at the same time, she had a great personality. So she didn't fall under one category. You know, some anchor women, some anchor men, you can't take them seriously if they're super goofy, or sometimes they're too serious and then they try and be funny and it just doesn't work. So I thought that she was just very personable. She was really sweet, and I had the honor of meeting her and working alongside her, which I can tell you guys about too. There's a little tease we call in the news. That's a tease.
Were you involved in any extracurricular activities during your school career?
I was. I loved TV club. I think what you guys are doing is awesome if you're interested in going into any form of broadcasting. I did do sports. I did musicals. It was Maria and the Sound of Music senior year of high school. It was either that or be the captain of the softball team, and I chose the arts. I was always like trying to stay really busy, and I think that that kind of helped because this is a crazy career being in journalism, and you're always on the go and you're always going to the next thing. So I always like filled my schedule, which sometimes people thought I was crazy to do so. And sometimes, you know, I look back and I'm like, why did I do that? I didn't like get to stop and enjoy a few things. I was always running around, but I think it's in my personality. And also community service is huge. I started a community service group at my local high school called Helping Hands, and it's pretty cool because it's still running today, which is awesome. And it's helping a lot of people, like, apply to college and stuff. They definitely look for that community service, so good advice for you guys.
Where did you attend college?
I went to Westfield State University. It was Westfield State College at the time, but they had since changed it to university after I left. It was a small state school. It wasn't this big, fancy journalism school in some big, fancy city. I did apply to those schools, but when push came to shove, it was all about, could my family afford sending me to school? I did pay for a lot of my schooling. I got some scholarships, which helped me, but that's like my biggest advice for to any of you. I changed my major once. I know friends that have changed it at least 3 times in college. If you have a lot of different interests and you don't know exactly what you want to do, you don't have to go to the big, fancy, expensive school. It's all about what we were talking about a little earlier, utilizing your resources, right? Networking. And by my networking at my little, tiny college, I ended up having an internship at CBS News and got to work with Katie Couric. So you can have those big connections at little places.
What did you get your degree in?
I got my degree in communications. And I had a minor in women's studies. That was kind of a new and upcoming minor or major at my college at the time. So I ended up taking a few extra classes.
What challenges did you face in school?
In college? High school?
Just in general.
Yeah. I think really trying to hone in on what I wanted to do. Just as, you know, there's so many different options out there, and if you're in different clubs and activities, if you go to college and you hear about different classes and things, you know, it kind of gets overwhelming almost where you're thinking, I guess I could do that. Oh, but wait, I declared this major. Oh, can I change it? So I think that that's a toss. I wanted to be a teacher. I went for elementary ed, a minor in music initially, and now I'm working in TV. There's not a direct relation unless you're a TV or a media teacher, so.
Would you say that your teachers played a major role in your education?
Definitely. From elementary school all the way up to college. And I think that's just because, you know, I mean, your teachers are so helpful, and you definitely know the teachers that you can relate to or that are personable, and the ones that are really there on the sidelines cheering you on specifically and want to see you succeed, and maybe they see something in you. So I had a few of those teachers I was really lucky to, you know, just come into contact with, and I still keep in touch with some of those teachers today.
Who was your favorite teacher and why?
My favorite teacher? Oh, I had a few. I have Mr. Demick, fifth grade. Mrs. Goodrich, third grade. We're going way back now. middle school, I had Mrs. Nylon in sixth grade. And now those teachers, I kind of linked them together because that was obviously, I was just starting off in school, so that was huge. And they definitely pushed me. They pushed me harder, which was good. And when they saw me getting bored or kind of restless, because I do have a very hyperactive personality, and I'm always like moving on to the next thing, they helped kind of, you know, give me more things, I guess, so I can do more. Also, I had Dr. Dixon. He was a chemistry teacher in high school, and he was one of those teachers where he literally had seen the world. He was a doctor, as I said, but he was an inventor. He was working on things in Russia, and I'm not a big science person, math, I'm more arts, you know, English and writing and all that jazz. But he was interesting because we had this class with him, I think it was a chem class, and we had to think of a creative way to like pitch our project that we had done. So I, being in my TV club and everything, I got a camera out and I started videotaping it. And then I edited it together and put, you know, popular music to it. I think Sweet Home Alabama was like the song that ran through one of them. But he loved it, you know, and he like supported something that wasn't necessarily, you know, all numbers and, you know, physics and formula. It was great, you know. So that was one of those teachers that just looked beyond what he was teaching and welcomed that creativity into the classroom, which was great. And then, of course, in college, there's some amazing professors I had. Too many to list.
Were there any school experiences that truly helped you get where you are today?
Yes, internships. Those were huge. Definitely some of the, like, writing for the media classes. But we're kind of in a time where magazines are on their way out, right? It's, you know, you don't... Do you guys pick up a magazine and read it? No. Yeah, it's kind of like a dying media right now with millennials. And at this point, I would say... Hold on, what was the question again?
Were there any school experiences?
Experiences. Ah, okay. So, yeah, writing for the media. Sorry. Hopefully you can edit that out. I get up at 2:30 in the morning, so my brain's kind of working. The synapses are trying to fire off as much as I can. So, yes, writing class, but those hands-on classes. So what you're doing here, you're sitting behind the computer, you're operating. That's huge because you're actually doing it, right? You're learning what you're doing, and you're seeing it if you like it. So when I was in TV club, that was huge. You know, anchoring, and I had a little weird and wacky news segment. What else? Internships, like I mentioned, that wasn't necessarily set up by the school. I had to log my intern time. Do you guys know what internships are? Yeah, you've heard of internships before. So I had about three of them at different stations, and that was great because I got class credit for it, but I also, again, I was in the middle of a newsroom getting to see firsthand, you know, what it was like to see breaking news or to see someone run out scripts to the anchor, you know, when a script changed. So you were, like, in the middle of it. So that was great experience. And there's no class that would teach me how to do what I do now. I would just say internships did.
Do you have any previous jobs?
I did, yeah. I worked before coming to Connecticut. I was at the NBC affiliate in Springfield, Massachusetts. So that was the station that was closest to where I went to college. And I applied to tons and tons and tons of stations after I graduated college. I almost went to West Virginia. I had friends that went to Bismarck, North Dakota, and Alaska. But that's kind of the way this business works. You go to some far out location, you get your experience, and then you try and inch your way closer back to home. But I had interned at the NBC station by my college, so they offered me a job right out of school.
What did you learn after those experiences?
What kind of experiences are we talking?
Like the previous jobs and internships you had?
Yeah. I mean, everything that I think I needed to prepare myself for where I am today. I think that I wore more hats at the station I worked at before here. So I would produce the newscast. I even assisted and directed it. I was out in the field with the camera shooting my own stories and editing them. And then also going live on air and anchoring and reporting. So I wore so many different hats at the smaller station I worked at before I came here that now I'm here and they have more people to do, you know, some of the jobs that I used to do at my old station. So I kind of understand what they're going through in terms of producing and directing and being out in the field as a reporter and waiting for, you know, more information or, you know, being out in the freezing cold or, you know, there's a lot of like harsh conditions sometimes that you're faced with. And I feel like I know a little bit more. I can understand it, and it kind of makes the workplace a little better because there's a lot of experience in my station. A lot of people have been all over the country. So I was a camp counselor. I worked in the restaurants, which is great interpersonal communication skills. Fine dining. I was serving bloomin' onions at Outback at one time. let's see, retail. Retail was my first official job. I worked at The Gap. I worked at Polo, Ralph Lauren, Banana Republic, American Eagle. I always had like three jobs at one time because I'm a nut, as you probably are gathering from this interview. I worked a lot and it was great. I mean, a lot of jobs that I had to do with people. So, and I also worked at my college as a tour guide and the alumni department.
When you were younger, did you ever think you would be a news reporter?
Yeah, I think it was one of those jobs that I thought to myself, if if I want to do it at that time, I can do it. Do you guys know Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Yeah? I know, I'm really sure my age here. Well, there was this reporter named Wendy, and she had a yellow jacket, and when I was a kid, I know this sounds so corny, but I had to be Wendy. Everyone else had to be a turtle, I had to be Wendy, because I had to deliver the news. And I would be, you know, in my mirror with a comb or whatever, or a brush, being a reporter. So, yeah, I definitely, like, knew I wanted to do it at one point in time. And then, like I told you, I was going to be a teacher, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, but I really want to do this, I really like this. Totally switch gears, so.
How long have you been doing your job?
I've been in the industry for 8 years now. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, almost 10 years, I guess, with internship experience, over 10 years. So, like, 11 or 12 years. But working at Channel 3, I've been there for 4.5 years.
Has your role being in Channel 3 changed since you started?
Yeah. No, social media is just taking over everything. I think every career, every job, for the better and for the worse at the same time. So when I started, you know, we were using Twitter and Facebook. We weren't using Instagram. Now Instagram is really big. How many of you are in Instagram? Yeah. So pretty much almost, you know, 80% of you. That's okay. You don't have to go on Instagram if you don't want to. There you go. Stay on the dark side as long as you can. Now we have a station Instagram account. We're doing Instagram stories. Snapchat, that was never in existence. And now they want us to obviously stay current and hip and cool and know how to use all of the social media platforms. I still don't do Snapchat though. I still haven't broken through to that one yet. But I love Instagram. So that is changing the way, not only how we deliver the news, because we have Facebook Lives every morning, so we can interact, and it's almost like a chat room with our viewers if they're watching. So that's kind of different, you know. I don't know, when I was a kid growing up, I would die if I could actually message an anchor live when they're on the computer and they're saying, they're giving me a shout out, hi, how are you doing, Nicole, in little Pittsfield, Massachusetts, you know? I would love that. And now you have this direct line between the on-air people and the viewers, so that's wild to me. Another thing is, too, being that we have Twitter, for example, everyone is getting the latest and the greatest news. Sometimes all of the news that's tweeted out isn't factual. And I'm not necessarily talking from news organizations, although sometimes people run with things. That does happen. But there's that error for accuracy now. You know, everyone is just trying to push out everything they can, the newest information, without maybe taking that extra second to go, wait a second, do we have that confirmed? Or, I know I heard that on the scanner, but is that really the case? Maybe I should call police and confirm that and make sure that that's really what happened. And I have actually seen some local news organizations that have run with things before. So you got to be really careful about where you're getting your news now, because there are so many different outlets coming at you. And, you know, I mean, we're kind of the generation where we don't have time to read a newspaper or an entire, you know, web article. Oh my gosh, I 2 minutes, right? That's it. So on Twitter, you have the 140 characters or more, I think now. Yeah, it's a little bit more. But I mean, that's all we have, you know? Are you guys ready for the end of school?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see the faces. I was out of school on Friday and everyone was like, I'm so not here right now. And it's a Monday, too. Oh, it's tough.
It is. What's your favorite part about being a news reporter?
My favorite part? Oh, there are so many favorite parts. I think, like, we carry such a huge responsibility. I mean, we are actually giving you the news. Whether you're tuning in every morning, or whether you see something later, you see a story later in the evening that we may have done, there's such a huge responsibility, and you have to treat it with respect too from our end. You know, we have to make sure if there's a really sad story, we can't read it as in a happy voice. We have to make sure we're being sensitive to people, you know, because you never know if the family or relatives are watching, friends. And also, I think one of my, well, I would say All right, let me backtrack here a second. My favorite part are the people that we get to meet and the stories that we get to tell. Because if it wasn't for the news, you wouldn't necessarily, you know about, you know, Joe in Wallingford that donates roses to widows every day or something. You know, there are so many amazing stories and good stories, like feel-good stories that are happening right here in our community, but sometimes they go unheard, you know? So we have a great avenue where we can bring some great stories to you. And sometimes they're not always good. Obviously, news can be sad and bad. But I think out of every bad story, there's always something, some little nugget of positivity there that you can find. You just might have to search a little harder for it, which is hard because we live in a day and age, like we're talking about, where we're like operating, yeah, at the speed of light.
What does a typical day for you look like?
A typical day, well, I get up around 2:30 in the morning if I have everything laid out the night before. And I don't usually have coffee before a morning show. I know it sounds weird. I don't think coffee works for me. I haven't had coffee today. Maybe I should have stopped to have time to get a cup of coffee, but I had to shoot a promo last minute right before I was leaving the parking lot. So that happens sometimes. But no, I get to work for 3:30, and I basically get in. We do all our own hair and makeup. Ladies, there is no makeup artist. There's no hairdresser every morning. We shop for our own clothes. At least I do. I don't have a budget for wardrobe. All my own money. And yeah, I try and look presentable as much as I can at 3 a.m. And then I'll go into the newsroom while my hair's all in curlers and I look like your grandmother. And I will read over the scripts that the producers wrote overnight. And if there's any breaking news, I'll be following up. If I need to make any calls, if they need help, I'll write some teases. And then after that, I'll take those rollers out and then get on the anchor desk. At 4:30, I anchor the half an hour newscast before 5 a.m. I also report traffic at 4:30. And then once 5 a.m. hits, we have two other anchors that come in. And then I just do traffic for the rest of the morning. And then if there's a breaking story or something, sometimes they'll, you know, have me cover something. But I'm mostly in the studio. And then I do this thing called Surprise Squad. So after the morning show ends at 7 a.m., we have these commercial cut-ins. So I'll do traffic cut-ins. And then after 9 a.m., I'll go out and shoot a story. Have you guys heard of Surprise Squad before? Yeah? We give away money, and it's like a lot of fun. Every Thursday night, our story airs. Liberty Bank sponsors us, so they give us a stipend. And every week, I get to go out and make people happy and feel good and highlight these amazing individuals in our state or nonprofit groups that are doing amazing work or people that are struggling and have just fallen on ill times. So that's like a lot of fun. And I'm very fortunate that Channel 3 airs it right in the middle of the evening newscast too on Thursday, because I think it's a little bit of an uplifting portion as we're, you know, just our threshold for negative news. Sometimes it gets pretty full, right? We're like full to capacity. So this is kind of a nice little, okay, and now let's take a little break and remind you that there are still good human beings out there in the world. So that's a typical day. And then if, you know, there's breaking news, I anchor the breaking news cut-ins if I'm in-house from 9 to noon. I fill in an anchor on the noon show if the anchor's out. If the morning anchors are out, I'll anchor. Or if one of the morning anchors are out, I'll anchor as well and usually do traffic at the same time. So.
What challenges would someone with your occupation face?
Challenges that someone of my occupation would face. Well, like anything, if you put yourself out there, there's always going to be critics. And you really, really have to have a thick skin in this business, because there's always going to be someone trying to put you down, trying to, you know, be negative about something or just completely criticize you. But you can't, you know, you got to take everything with a grain of salt, and you can't let those people get you down. And unfortunately, now with social media, there's so many internet trolls. There are real live trolls. They live under a tree somewhere, and they come out at the most inopportune times for some people. But no, you really have to have a thick skin. And I don't think everyone could be criticized every day and, you know, go to bed and sleep well. It's tough, you know? But if you believe in your product and you believe in yourself, and if you have the support system that we talked about earlier, then that's huge. That'll get you through it. And if you love your job, too. If you love your job, there's nothing that's ever going to be standing in your way but yourself. So I think that that's probably the biggest factor. And also, challenges, breaking news and ad-libbing is not easy. That was something I struggled with in my last station because I worked overnights for 3 years. So I'd go in at 11 o'clock at night and get out at 7 in the morning. But if there was breaking news, I would be out there until sometimes noon, and then I'd have to be live again. So sometimes you're working crazy hours in this business, and you have to ad-lib the news. If there's a breaking news story, obviously there's not a script off of a printer somewhere that you can read from. So you're trying to retain information, and then you're trying to, you know, obviously tell it to the public in a way that they would understand. So if you like your 8 hours of sleep, this may not be the career for you either. I get like 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night. So, those are probably the two biggest challenges. Yeah.
If you could go back and change your career in some way, would you?
That's a great question. I don't think anyone has ever asked me that. I don't like to regret anything, and I feel like every experience, good and bad, that I've had so far has brought me to where I am today. So I don't think I would go back and change anything. Maybe in the moment if something bad happened or something, you know, I wish didn't happen, I would have said, yeah, I wouldn't have done that, you know. But then when I look back, you know, fast forward 5 years later here in Connecticut, I feel like I had to go through that thing to get to where I am today. So I wouldn't regret anything. And I had some amazing internship experiences. If anything, I wish that maybe I got into internships a little earlier, which is not always common for freshmen in college, but just to see more stations and get a feel for things. But yeah, I don't think I would change anything.
What would you say was the most helpful thing in your life that motivated you to get you where you are today?
That's a great question, too. I mean, these are all great questions, you guys. These are the ones that are making me stop and really think for a second. You're going to have to edit this space here. Can you ask that one more time?
What would you say was the most helpful thing in your life that motivated you to get you to where you are today?
I think that I like to start something and finish it. So I was very motivated and determined, okay, this is what I want to do. I know this is what I want to do. I'm going to get there. And even if it doesn't work out right away, I'm going to figure out a way to get there. So I think the sense of not wanting to fail at something motivated me to just keep going. Like, there was no failing in my vocabulary. I had to just keep at it, even if I meant I had to produce and work on the, you know, most awful shift you could ever think of, the graveyard shift when everyone's sleeping. And here I am producing when I was promised a reporting position initially. I kept at it. I'm like, I need to get through this because I will get to report. I know I'm going to get to report. Like, you know, you have to sometimes say yes to the jobs that you don't necessarily want to do because you can't always get things right away and handed to you at all. So, I think I was just motivated by, you know, I didn't know how I was going to get from point A to point B, but I was going to get there. And I just, it was like forward thinking, you know?
If one of our listeners wants to get into a similar career as you, what advice would you give them?
Internships, especially at your age. I mean, I don't think there's any age limit on internships. I mean, sometimes high school, college, you know, they require credits. But just start interning, start networking. You know, if your mom or dad has a friend that they graduated high school with that works for this company and they're doing something that you would be interested in or you want to do, have mom and dad connect with them on Facebook and start, you know, milking it a little bit so you can connect with them, because you never know who knows someone. That was kind of my thing too with the internships. I told you, my school, it was a small state college. I loved it, don't get me wrong, but it was small and they didn't have this aggressive internship program like some of the journalism schools or, you know, like even Quinnipiac, you know. So I had to find the internships myself. I had to apply for the internships. I tried to find out any alum at the high school or college that I attended. You know, who did I know or who knew someone? And it was all about emailing and contacting them. Any advice that you have for me, they would contact me. And sometimes I thought that, oh, this might work out. You know, so-and-so works for this TV show. And, you know, they might have an internship in the summer, and then it falls through. But still, don't get discouraged and just keep at it with anything, not just TV. But it does help in TV.
Since we're transitioning from 8th grade to 9th grade next year, do you have any advice for us or listeners who are also making the transition on how to make the transition, like, smoother, or, like, what advice should we have?
Yeah. I know it's exciting going to high school, but are you a little... Are you guys a little nervous? No. I mean, it's okay if you are. I think, so you guys are in a new building, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of exciting. That's a fresh start. Some schools, the eighth grade is connected to the high school, and you kind of know it's that hallway that you're going to be in, but, you know, it's a little weird seeing it all through school. Since you're going to a completely new building, I would say treat it as a complete, you know, blank page. You'll find high school is so different when it comes to the workload. Hopefully, I think, right, teacher? With the, you know, just like with the class load and stuff, you'll just kind of get more of a swing for your schedule, maybe a little different than middle school. There's going to be more homework. Sorry, I had to tell you, there is going to be more homework, but I think that the class structure is a little different in the sense of you're going to be prepared for college that much more. You know, it might be more conversational. You might take a little bit longer to spend some time on a learning unit versus, you know, maybe being in elementary school and middle school. So, try not to get overwhelmed, too. Don't sign up for way too many community activities like I did, because that will get you a little stressed. But, treat it as a new, fresh start.
How would you define success?
How would I define success? I think success is achieving what you truly feel inside your heart is the right thing for you. I think that what your version and definition of success may not line up with what someone else wants for you or thinks you should be doing. But I think if you're being completely honest and you're really reaching down to your core, and you know, we all have that little voice inside of us that, you know, tells us maybe you shouldn't do that, maybe you should do that. Oh, that's what I like. It's your gut, right? If it's screaming at you that this is something I want to go in and you have no idea how you're going to get there, just go for it. Trust your gut. It will never steer you wrong. And I think that if you're on that track to trusting your gut, you're going to line yourself up for success.
Do you consider yourself successful?
I do, because I'm where I wanted to be, and I achieved a goal that I always saw myself doing, one of the things I saw myself doing. And I think that my success hasn't ended. I think I still have a long way to go, and there's more I want to accomplish and more things I want to do. So, I mean, I guess I feel successful, but at the same time, there's still way more track to cover.
Any other questions?
I actually have a question. When you were over at CBS with Katie Couric,
yeah.
What was the most inspirational moment when you were there? What was one of the major highlights?
So, Katie Couric, she's a mom of two. She goes to a public appearance, it seems, every night. She hosts events. She now has her own podcast. But it seemed as though there were a few clones of Katie, because when did this woman sleep? She worked an early morning show for so many years, but how do you balance all the other aspects of your life? So I asked her one day, I said, how do you do it? What is the best advice you have for someone who's going into a crazy career like this, but who may want to have a family someday, or who, you know, wants to keep achieving and may not want to slow down at one market? And she told me, you just make it happen. She said, you do. You find a way to make it happen. If you want it, if you love it, you'll make it happen. And as simple as advice as that is, I thought that was really amazing coming from someone who you know, had a family and made it to network and was just like living her full potential. And I think we all want to get there. We all want to live our full potential, you know, but there are so many obstacles constantly standing in your way to get there. But it's all about how do you climb over those obstacles to achieve more success, you know? And at what level of success do you want? Not everyone wants to be Katie Couric, you know? Some people want to stop, you know, they get happy, they get to a certain station, and that's okay. That's why I was saying, like, your definition of success varies depending on the person. But yeah, she was an amazing, amazing person. And she, I mean, she was anchoring from Afghanistan when I was interning there, and she would be up from, you know, 7 o'clock at night after the evening news had ended, anchoring in Afghanistan, mind you, and then she'd be up for 4:30 and she'd be reading pages and pages of news briefs and history on what she was reporting. So she was able to retain so much information and be knowledgeable on so many different subjects, which just blew my mind, you know? It's like there's not enough time in the day to do what she did. Yeah, but she did it, yeah.
Any other questions, guys?
I actually do have one.
Yeah.
Was there ever a station that you really wanted to go to, like one of the big stations in New York City or something like that? Or did you just want to go, like, find the first one that would accept you?
At first, it was finding the first one that will accept you because you don't really care where you go, or at least I didn't. I wasn't afraid of moving away from home. I'm close enough with my parents that I can talk to them on the phone every day. or I can avoid the phone call, no. I wanted to accept any job, and it just so happened, of course, it was the one that was closest to home. Come the second time around, as I'm applying to other jobs, I was offered a big anchoring position out in the Midwest, which I almost took, and then Connecticut called, and it's so funny how things just work out, life works out. I ended up taking the one that was closest, did not plan on it. You know, I was planning on going away and getting all my experience I needed, and then I come back to the East Coast. So you really never know, like, how things are gonna pan out. But I'm happy that I came to Connecticut. And if I do want to go on further, there's bigger markets that aren't too far away from here either. So, yeah, we'll see.
Well, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule, Mrs. Nalepa, to join us for an interview on Step Connections.
Thank you for having me. And you guys, keep shooting for the stars. Good luck in high school.
Thank you.
Woohoo!
And a special thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Have a fantastic day.